Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to TC Live. In tennis, one point can change a match. And for Andre Rublev, this week may forever change his season. Coming from a set down to claim his second Masters 1000 title and 16th overall, after four straight losses, Rublev went on the run of his life to reign supreme in Spain, picking up a ton of confidence on the road to Roland Garros. Come on into our studios. Steve Weissman with a cavalcade of stars. Got the Hall of Famer Jim Courier, Chanda Rubin, Andy Roddick over on the big screen as well to break down what we just saw. Andy, your instant reaction to Rublev raising the trophy in Madrid.
Well, listen, credit to Rublev. Four straight losses coming in, and that's a long four losses, right? Miami, Indian Wells, Monte Carlo, which he defended last year. So props to him, a guy who's been one of the most consistent players on tour for the last 5 years, had a slump. And boy, did he get himself out of it this week.
Yeah, he's finding his form at just the right time. And for Rublev going into Roland Garros, you know, these weeks in the lead-ups, it's a bit of a bonus, but to hold the trophy up, this big of a trophy during this time, I think is huge for him. And you could see it in the matches all this week, the win against Alcaraz, getting it done deep into the third set there, doing it again in this final when he wasn't playing his best tennis. I was very impressed with his performance and how he worked his way through that match.
And do not worry, we will get you back out to the trophy presentation. You will hear from both Andre Rublev and Felix Auger-Aliassime the moment they hit the mic. Jim, you called this match. Mm-hmm. What was the difference overall for Andre Rublev?
Well, it was a slow start for him. It comes out, he's down 4-1, two breaks of serve, and he's really quiet. I was hoping that he wasn't feeling sick because he just looked like he was out of it a little bit, but eventually started to get his forehand in gear, and he at least got competitive in that set, and that set him up for success in sets two and three. Started to lift his first serve percentage in the second set, and then Felix started to suffer physically in the third set, and that was certainly a factor. Defense was difficult for Felix at the end of it. But I think my biggest takeaway right in all of this, looking at the whole week and tournament in sort of the rear view now, is Rublev wins this tournament, and he really wins it with a muted emotional state. And that is something he's never done before. So I think he's learned something about himself, that he can still play some of his best tennis without being on the razor's edge emotionally. And maybe that will help him deal with the adversity that comes with all professional sports and athletes over time with a little bit more measured head. And maybe this will be a turning point for him. We'll see.
That's a great point. What do you think about that, Andy?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously we saw kind of the meltdown in Dubai earlier this year. Take, you know, four losses in a row. You know, you probably become a little bit you know, reflective about what's working and what's not, and, you know, kind of having meltdowns, especially while going through a slump, it isn't really the way. Form isn't a choice. Confidence isn't a choice. Attitude can be a choice sometimes. And I agree with Jim. It looked like he made a conscious choice. Listen, he's never going to be perfect. I like players that emote. I think they're generally more entertaining. But listen, we were talking about the opportunity that was coming for this tournament. You know, come quarterfinals, we start losing our stars. They start going down, you know, Sinner with a hip, Medvedev with a hip, Alcaraz with a forearm against Rublev. Opportunity was knocking for all of these players once they got in the quarters, semis, and he answered the door and let himself right through. So props to Rublev for turning his year around right here.
Yeah, I think with Rublev, you know, there are matches where if he had gotten off to that kind of a slow start, it would have just gone downhill pretty quickly and he wouldn't have been able to recover to find a way. And especially with his style of play, when you hit the ball as big and you sort of go big and bigger, it can be difficult to work your way into a match. So it was impressive the way he was able to find a foothold. I don't think he ever played quite at his best level the way we had seen earlier in the week, but he did what he needed to do to give himself those opportunities, plenty of break chances in the third set as well. And I think that went a long way to just continuing to pressure Ojé Aliassime in those big moments.
A reminder, we will send you back out to La Caja Mágica to hear from Andre Rublev during the trophy presentation. But let's show you how it all went down. A first-time champ guaranteed in Madrid today when Rublev was battling Felix Ojé Aliassime, meeting in a final gym for the second time in their careers. The Russian took the first one. Different surface, though, here.
Yep, and it would be Felix who would strike early. Looking good, looking confident, and grabbing an early break of serve and then a second just for good measure. Not a great drop shot, but good anticipation, and that one just missed. So Felix would sit down at 4-1, and that's when Rublev would start to make his move to get back into this match. Ripping that forehand pass, he'd get the break. It wouldn't be enough to get back in the set. He had a break point to get to 5-all. Ojé Aliassime served his way out of that trouble and into the first set winner's circle. But the second set, here's a late break for Rublev at 6-5. And Chanda, at this point, we're starting to see some of the emotion, but then he would bottle it back up and then go to work.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of matches would have gone away for Rublev. But in this one, he stayed the course. And even after all of those break points, opportunities missed, he was still able to keep his head up.
There's a win, unfortunately, coming on a double fault for Felix Ojé Aliassime, who, by the way, had a great week himself. Coming into this tournament, was just 11-10 on the season. One semifinal, one quarterfinal. He gets to his first Masters 1000 final. Andre Rublev is your champion, but we're going to take you back inside the magic box. Felix Ojé Aliassime talking right now during the trophy presentation.
Thank you. No, thank you all for coming today. First, congrats to Andre, very deserving winner. Congrats to you and your team. I tried until the end. I'm sorry I made you maybe overthink. I was struggling, but it's okay. You know, you're a great player. We always have good time on the tour, so, you know, very deserving. Well done. Again, thank you. Thank you all for coming. I love playing in Madrid. I've been coming here since I'm a teenager for other events, love everything about the tournament, the city, and, you know, a big part of that is, you know, congrats to Philly and your team for treating the players so well and, you know, putting on a great event every year. Thank you to all the line judges, the ball kids. You are great. It was great to share this week with you. And again, thank you to all the fans. You know, we play for you. Thank you for coming out the whole week in big numbers, and I hope to be back in many years to come.
Y entrega el trofeo de finalista a Félix Oyer, Ignacio Garralda, presidente del Grupo Mutua Madrileña. Y ahora sí, llamamos ya al ganador en esta edición 2024 del Mutua Madrid Open en categoría masculina, Andrei Rublev.
First of all, I want to say sorry since the beginning because I think my speech will be so long now. But first, I would like to say thanks a lot to Felix. I know it's very, very, very disappointed to lose the match like this. I'm sorry, I know the feeling, but I know that I say this many times and I will be not tired to say this again, that you are a true inspiration for me as a player, for the spectators, for the kids, how professional you are, how humble you are, how nice person you are. So Yeah, I just want to wish you. I just want to wish you all the best. That you always have a great team around you, great people. That you treat well for sure, and they will treat you well as well. And hope you will have together many more success. Then I would like to say big thanks to Philly. I know we have a different in the age, but we have a great connection together. We spent many times, many things on court, many things on tour, many things. We spent time in the same house doing barbecues. So now we are here spending time on a trophy ceremony. So I guess you're in my life forever. We were teammates. We were a team against each other at Davis Cup. So for me, I'm happy to see you doing really well, having amazing family, amazing person, being here director of one of the most great tournaments. So I'm happy to see you here, and thank you so much for everything you're doing. Then I would like, of course, to say big thanks to my team, my coach Fernando and Alberto, my physio Charlie, my fitness coach Marcos, my agent and Renault Mental, also Gallo. Thanks to Charlie a lot, because I don't know how many times in the last 10 days he ran to the pharmacy to buy different stuff. So thank you so much. I forgot what else I wanted to say. I remember now. I wanted to say big thanks to all the medical staff and doctor staff, because if not them, I don't think I will be able to stay here and be able to play. So I want to say big thanks. I want to say big thanks to all the doctors from the tournament, because I think from my experience for the moment, they're one of the best that I see so far on tennis tour. And big thanks to them. Then, almost done. Last couple of things. Also, I want to say big thanks to all the guys who works in the food, because when I needed something special that they didn't have, they bring it straight away. They find a way to find it. So thanks so much for Feli for signing them, and I hope you will have a long journey with this great food team, because they are doing amazing stuff. The speech is too long. Sorry. Then, of course, I would like to say thanks to all the members who work for my brand, because they are doing really great job. They are improving my clothes. They are making me play and feel comfortable. So I hope we have a long journey together. And I want to say thanks to them. And I want to say big thanks to all the spectators who is coming, supporting tennis for us as a tennis players. For us as a tennis players, it means a lot. So thank you so much. Keep supporting your favorite players. Keep coming. And because of you, our tennis is growing, and we're having better and better things. Thank you so much, guys.
Y ahora el alcalde de Madrid, José Luis Martínez Almeida, le entrega el trofeo de campeón a Andrei Rublev.
That's it? There's not more?
There's that trophy, the beautiful trophy. First-time champ here in Madrid for Andrei Rublev. Now the fifth active player to win multiple Masters events on clay, won Monte Carlo. Hey, not shocked, Chanda, by the...
It didn't seem as violent as it was yesterday.
Iga
was on the podium.
Andy, we learned not only did he get some special foods during the week, but also really wasn't feeling his best all week.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's kind of fitting that the person who won the tournament also wasn't feeling great. I think the storyline on top of Rublev obviously kind of riding the ship and winning this tournament is listen, the bodies were going down left and right, and it's kind of fitting. It's almost like survival of the fittest. Oje Aliassime is cramping in the final of an indoor event not long into the match, and Rublev doesn't feel great. So sometimes you just got to finish it in any way possible. And Rublev was able to do that this week.
Well, Jim, what's your takeaway for Felix Auger-Aliassime after this event? Obviously got the big win against Casper Ruud, got a couple withdrawals, a retirement, but what does he take into Rome?
I mean, hopefully he takes a lot of confidence, and he should. This is a feel-good event for him in spite of how it ended. Of course, you don't like to finish a match with a double fault like that, but big picture, pull back from that moment and say this was a turning point for him because he'd really been struggling. The body had betrayed him all last season. He'd had problems with his left knee. It required stem cell treatment. That's how severe the issue was. He had shoulder troubles at Roland Garros last year. This is a guy who was sixth in the world this time a couple of years ago, was really kind of rising through it. We're waiting for him to make that major breakthrough, and maybe this is the minor breakthrough that will lead to that major breakthrough, right? This is the confidence builder. It's the ranking rebuilder, which will give him protection in the draws when it comes to seeding at the majors. He'll be inside comfortably that top 32 now for a while because he was on the outside looking in. He was 35 in the world when this tournament started. Now he's going to be 20 in the world. And he's going to have some chances to start to keep going even higher because didn't have a great year last year with his body. So for him, it's resurgence, it's a rebuilding of the ranking and the confidence, and it's now moving forward and hoping that the cramping was just a factor of maybe he didn't drink enough prior to the match, maybe it was the nerves because he hadn't been in a big match like this probably since the Davis Cup finals at the end of 2022. So a lot of positives is what I would be stressing if I was in his camp.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can look at the fact that Auger-Aliassime had a couple of completed match wins. I mean, he's been struggling all year to get multiple wins at a tournament. And this tournament, he managed to get them, but in a very different way. I think it's absolutely glass half full because how many opportunities do you get to play in a big final and to play as well as he did, to have the opportunities he had, the first set, the start that he got off to Auger-Aliassime, that's been huge all week. And I think that's going to hold him in good stead, especially as he heads into the rest of the clay court swing, Roland Garros as well, and even the remainder of the year. You can have, you know, this big week or this turning point, and it can really set you up for success the rest of the season. So I think that's going to be huge for him as well if he can take this and run with it, but a lot more positives from this two-week event in Madrid.
Yeah, I think both of these players, Andy, come away from the Spanish capital with a ton of confidence. They may not have entered Madrid with confidence, but for Rublev, listen, this is a guy that's still looking to get past the quarterfinals at a major. You talked about all the injuries and uncertainty of those top guys. He's now at sixth in the world, could potentially be his best shot coming up.
Hey, listen, opportunity is knocking right now. I don't know that we've ever been as in flux going into Roland Garros as far as the favorites. And so if we're looking at Sinner, Alcaraz, Medvedev, Novak hasn't been playing much. If you're Ruud, Tsitsipas, Runa, and now Rublev, you are licking your chops going, okay, this might be the shot. This might be the time to take it. And one more point on FAA. I thought Jim hit the nail on the head here. If you're his team, you say, hey, listen, maybe we got some good fortune this week. We also played some good tennis. And what this does, like Jim said, is it gets him into that seated conversation at slams. You have to view it, listen, we've had so many ups and downs, and we've had a lot of bad luck over the last 2 years. Let's take the good luck. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that we've created this week, and let's run with it from here.
Absolutely. A lot more still to come here on TC Live. We've got the best of the best ATP edition. Plus, Andre Rublev going to speak one-on-one to our guy, Prakash Amitraj, as he kisses that trophy in Madrid, a winner for the first time at this Masters 1000 event. Many of those top men's players just trying to get healthy. So what does it all mean on the road to Roland Garros? Our experts on who else could take advantage. Keep it right here.
Jannik Sinner.
Let's go, TV, let's go!
Jannik Sinner did what many people thought was the impossible in stopping Novak Djokovic.
I'm really happy that I can play Sunday, my first final, and let's see how it goes.
He is the last man standing at a major for the first time in his career.
Jannik Sinner has had the best season of his life. He's your Australian Open champ. But heading on the road to Roland Garros, he has already withdrawn from Rome, as has Carlos Alcaraz. Novak Djokovic didn't play in Madrid. has had some shakeups with the team. Daniil Medvedev has had some injury issues as well, retired from the quarterfinals of Madrid. And, of course, Rafa Nadal has been dealing with his own injuries, playing just three events this year. So that leads to our Quick Hands segment questions. We're talking about everything on the road to Roland Garros. The lights are flashing all around us. Can you feel the energy right here? All right, which of those players, Jim, has the biggest question mark hanging over their current status?
Rafa's the one that we're probably most concerned with. So I would go with Rafa.
Okay. Chanda?
I'm going to go with Sinner. Italian doesn't play in the Italian Open. It's a little bit of a concern.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, I'm actually on Chanda's side here. 2 days ago, we thought, okay, this is precautionary hip issue. And then he comes back today and says there's, you know, the MRI showed something kind of bad. So I might not play in Roland Garros if I'm not 100%. I don't think I was concerned about him, 2-3 days ago. And I think I'm very concerned about him now.
All right. There are plenty of concerns going around. So that means opportunities for other players. Which guy?
Using your quick hands to get us there. Nice.
Which guy outside the top three, Andy, has the best chance to win the title at Roland Garros?
This is just opportunity knocking for someone like a Casper Ruud, right? He's been in 3 slam finals, has played 2 Roland Garros finals. Beat you to it, Chanda. I got first pick this time. But also, it's been playing well, right? Finals of Monte Carlo, a win a week later. Took a little bit of a hiccup to FAA this week, but Madrid had some tricky conditions. I like Casper.
I like Casper, too, but I feel like I got to say somebody
different.
Now you
can say Casper.
I was thinking Tsitsipas as well, okay. Though. I kind of like where he is, and certainly the win in Monte Carlo, that gives him a bit of confidence. He's been to a final as well, just like Casper Ruud. So, I'm just going to take somebody
else. Let's go with Steph, yeah.
I'm not afraid to jump on the Chanda bandwagon. I'm going to go Tsitsipas, and I'm going to echo your reasons. I'm also going to throw another one on the fire. He's had a breakup with his girlfriend.
Ah.
Does that give him a little extra oomph, a little bit of extra focus?
I
feel for them.
I didn't want to say it.
I don't want to wish bad on any, but sometimes after a breakup, players can be focused and then come out furious. We'll see what happens.
It's not you, it's me, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, Chanda. That felt personal.
Need your reaction to that, Andy.
When Chanda said that, I was like, oh gosh, I felt like I was 16 again. Someone telling you it's not you, it's me. I'm like, but it's been me a lot. Listen, one other thing that becomes real fun in this conversation, because of, you don't have a dominant center going in, or Alcaraz or Novak making a run in the clay court season, Rafa. Right? You say outside of the top three. I'm pretty sure Rafa's outside of the top three. Makes this very, very interesting if he's got a clean bill of health going in.
Yeah, why not? 15 within sight for Rafa Nadal. Casper Ruud, he has made the last 2 finals at Roland Garros. I think a lot of people don't recognize that.
Do you think it's odd that none of us mentioned Rublev, who just won?
I've never been past a quarter.
Yeah. You make a good point.
just saying.
That's not odd.
No, it's not. The ATP doubles, they've changed the format a little bit this week in Madrid, the test. So singles players get more opportunities to play doubles. Guess who won in Madrid? Seb Korda, Jordan Thompson,
yeah.
Couple singles guys. What did you make of it?
So a couple things. One, the match times, because they were short in the time between points, they went to closer to an hour for matches. That will make it more attractive to more singles players to get involved. My big picture thing is, Let's throw spaghetti against the wall. Let's see what sticks. Doubles does not pull its weight. It is not worth 20% of the prize money, which is what it has always gotten in ATP events. How do we make it more value? This is a good idea. Let's try it. We'll find out something from it for sure.
I think it's a great idea. I think that, obviously the singles players who have earned their rankings, they are some of the best players in the world. And I think they deserve an opportunity to be able to play doubles if they want to, without having to play every single week and adding to their workload. I think for everybody, it takes some getting used to, especially for those doubles specialists. But I think it's good.
Yeah, and listen, the more we have, men and women at the same event, you have to free up some resources, right? Whether it's practice courts, whether it's hotel rooms, whether it's food, so backloading the doubles players frees up all of those things to make it a better player experience for the people, like Jim said, that are creating most of the revenue for the tours. I think it's fair. And listen, let's try it. There's no downside.
Yeah, I love that point, because say you lose early in singles, that doubles doesn't start until the second Tuesday.
so you can still stay, train in that city?
You have two choices, Steve. You have a choice to either go play a Super Challenger, which is like Francis Tiafoe did this week, or you can stay and potentially win, get this, people, $200,000 each if you're a part of the winning doubles team. That's a pretty good reason to stick around if you've got nowhere else to go and you don't feel like going to play a challenger. You stay, you practice singles, you play your doubles, you pick up a lot of dough, and you move along to Rome.
That's
not
big,
bad.
Big-time incentive
not
right
bad. There.
Not bad.
Let me tell you one thing. Doubles, it used to get $25,000 to win these things about 30 years ago. Now you're making nearly 10x that. It's pretty good cheddar.
Yeah, and I think it brings more eyes to the doubles as well. When you have some of your top singles guys playing, I think that benefits. It's not just taking jobs away from doubles players, so we got to look at it half full.
Absolutely.
Always bringing the fire.
Half full. We go positive here. Andy, you mentioned Rafa, and with all the uncertainties of the top three players, you know, he's going for title number 15 at Roland Garros. What are the chances that the French Tennis Federation gives him a top 32 seed?
I think that's a leap. I don't think he has the amount of matches behind him. I think that's a listen. If you're ever going to break precedent for someone, I guess this is it. But that's that. I think that's a tough one. That might be a step too far for the people that have been on tour playing, specifically because there are a lot of questions about his health still. So I don't know that we can pay the bill this year for something that was done 2-3 years ago.
There is no precedence for this at Roland Garros like there has been at Wimbledon in the past with their own grass court ranking system. If there were one person that would make history, it would be the guy that's won it 14 times. What do you think, Chanda?
I mean, I think you could certainly justify it if his health was clear, if he had been playing more matches, if there were a few more certainties in terms of just where he is on his road back. It's tough to do it with what we have seen so far. And I also think the number 32 person in the world, the men's player in the world, is a Frenchman, Arthur Fils. So do they consider knocking him potentially out of that last seeded spot for Rafa Nadal? That may be a tough one, although that may not come into play. Still an interesting part of the conversation.
Let me put myself in Amelie Mauresmo's seat. So she's the tournament director for the FFT. She's the one who goes to the media and answers these questions. Do you want to open this can of worms? Is Rafa worth it? You could certainly make the case, as my colleagues here have, of why he might be worth giving it to, given he's such an outlier. But every year you're now going to have to face this question of who's worthy of being put into the seeds. We had this conversation a lot with the moms coming back on tour and the WTA. Do you want to open this can of worms? I think the answer is a hard no if I'm Amelie Mauresmo.
Andy, quick thought. What if he wins Rome?
Yeah, I still don't like it. I still don't think he can do it. And also, like, one point that we're completely ignoring, I don't think Rafa would want it. Like, I don't think he would want to waltz in and take someone's spot. I don't think he would approve. So all of a sudden you're putting him in a weird position where he's having to defend this status that he's been given. I don't think he would want it.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be an exciting draw ceremony if he is not seated, because he's going to be playing somebody, and it could be Carlos Alcaraz. It could be Novak Djokovic. So,
hey, good news. He's not going to play Iga Świątek.
No.
No, he's got good chances.
Unless he signs up for mixed
doubles.
She's
on fire, that's what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen.
I caught that, Jim.
Okay.
You know who's on fire? Prakash Amitraj. All 2 weeks in Madrid, he's going to be talking to Andrei Rublev when we come back. Plus, we've got the best of the best. And how about this? For the first time in history, the ATP Top 10 didn't include a single one-handed backhand earlier this year. So we're going to show you some two-handers trying to help out. Andy, Chanda, Jim, Steve, back with you here on TC Live. There's your champ, the 2024 Madrid Open, Andrei Rublev, getting all the spoils of victory. 8-1 in deciding sets this season, including one against Carlos Alcaraz this week, and then in the final against Felix Auger-Aliassime. He is on court with Prakash Amitraj.
Andre, unbelievable. What a way to fight through that. Talk about the beginning. It was a difficult start for you. Were you feeling 100%?
No, I didn't feel last 10 days 100%, but I guess that was the thing. And then it helped me to stay focused more on the game, to be less frustrated, because I had no energy, that much energy to complain. So, and then I guess when I was not feeling 100%, and then it helped me. And today it was tough. I was very slow in the beginning, but on top of that, Felix started really well. He was serving amazing shooting. And of course, when you start like this, on this level, it was 4-1 in 20 minutes. But then somehow I was just trying to wake myself up to say, you're going to regret if you're not going to try. And then little by little, somehow.
It was such an unbelievable comeback, Andre, all the way through. The week you've been so strong mentally. You defeated Carlos, you kept it up. Has this been the best mental performance of your career so far, this tournament?
I agree, I think so. For sure, the best mental performance for a title, that I won a title. Because I did some good performance in a mental way, but I didn't win the titles, like Slams Wimbledon last year or Australia Open this year. But to win a title and perform mentally well for the first time ever. So, yeah, for sure, I feel this is the most proud title.
Moving forward now for the rest of the clay court season and Roland Garros, do you feel this title, you're at even a higher level than after you won Monte Carlo last year?
Of course, I feel higher level because I feel that I'm playing much better. Monte Carlo was like the stars, a bit was together. I guess I was having chances for that much long time to win a Master Mill, and I couldn't. That somehow it just happened, but not because I was playing something unbelievable. I mean, I was playing for sure great tennis, but not like now. Now I'm playing much better, so for sure, yeah, I feel stronger. But now it doesn't matter, man. It's already been great clay court season for me.
Andre, go celebrate, my man. You absolutely deserve it.
Okay, I will try.
Awesome stuff, Prakash. Look forward to seeing you and Danny in Rome. And how about that most proud title of his career? Best mental performance when winning a title. Good stuff. He now has two Masters 1000s. That is more than guys that have won majors like Stan Wawrinka, Juan Martín Del Potro, Dominic Thiem, Marin Cilic. Of course, those guys had to deal with three certain players like Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer that combined for 104 Masters 1000 titles.
Yay. Cut, don't show on the net. Wait, look at this one. See you.
Yeah, well, my dad had a one-hander, so it'd be bad if my one-hander wasn't as good.
Yeah. Missed too many. Never will have a one-y.
No, I've never hit a one-hander in my life. You ready? I'm lefty. That's all I have. I think I'm better than Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, he hit a really good one, but like, mine's like consistent. Like, I can play with a one-y and be good. Like, come on. Are you seriously telling me any two-handed hits one is better than that?
I mean, those are some pretty good one-ys for some double-handed backhands. That's for sure. And look what Fritzy said. He was like, my one-y's prettier than my real strokes, Andy.
Yeah, Fritz was the shocker of the day here. He's got a little, you know, I mean, Sheldon's was ugly, man. That thing was like flat, end over end. Fritz got a little, he's got a little spin profile going on that thing. He knew it, too. He goes, I can hit a one-y, no problem.
You know what the biggest difference here is? The people that are not natural one-handers, they abbreviate their finish, and that's the difference. On the one-hander, they have the full follow-through. All these guys are following through exactly the same way they do with their two-hander. It stops at the top instead of finishing all the way around, and that's when you see someone like Tsitsipas or Federer, of course, the glory of the backhand just spreading, both hands spreading like they're flying. These guys, it's so unnatural, and it's so much better than mine ever could be. I will point that out as well.
Yeah, how was yours, Jim?
My chip backhand is way better now than it ever was when I played on tour, but you don't want to see the one-hander or the two-hander. How about you, Chenna?
No, I would never even attempt the one-hander, actually. But I get what you're saying. It's that flexibility.
Right, look at them. They all stop.
Get that full swing. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I try to look like Stan Wawrinka, but I know I don't.
Demons has the best finish, actually, of all of them, because he gets his left arm behind him, so he gets that move, which is what you want. center's left arm just kind of hanging like it's not really. That one's pretty nice. Who is that?
That's Jari.
Jari is pretty good. Mira, got to keep that left leg on.
Nori's didn't look bad. Nori was the sleeper there. Like, and you wouldn't think it because he got the old Shover Magoo backhand like you and I, Jim. Like, Nori's follow through was all right there.
Let the world know that Andy Roddick's slice backhand is a masterpiece, though. I don't know if it's ever been better than it was when we played all those times in the Champions Series. Andy used to just drive me crazy with that thing. You never missed it.
Yeah, it's funny how I got a lot better when I started playing people that couldn't move anymore.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fair point. Worked well.
Yeah.
Props to these players, though. I love never hitting one, and they go like that. That's why these are the best of the best. All right, now to our top story. We talked about it a little bit earlier today, but Tsitsidosa is no more. Paula Badosa, Stefanos Tsitsipas, they have ended their relationship after about a year, Andy. It's a tragedy in the tennis world.
I don't know what to say. Obviously, I have no insight. I hope better things lie ahead for both of them. I hope health for Badosa and Tsitsipas. Listen, he breaks up, the draw opens up. Who knows? Maybe something special at Roland Garros. I just hope they're both happy and ready to move forward.
Yes, better paths ahead. It's not you, it's me. You know, let's stay friends. I care about you still. All of those things, I'm sure, were said. And we love seeing the relationship unfold, but perhaps it is for the best if they both are looking at their own paths and just looking at continuing to move up the ranks. Certainly for Badosa with the injuries, hopefully she can get healthy and we can see her back at her best. But it's been fun while it lasts.
Quick question for both Chanda and Andy. Did you play better or worse in the aftermath of a breakup while you were on tour? Chanda first.
I'm trying to think. Go ahead, Chanda.
I didn't really have too many breakups. I didn't date much, Jim.
Okay, Andy. I didn't expect that. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, before my wife, I didn't date much either, Jim.
There you go, Andy.
Wise words. I think Brooke was the first person you ever dated. I mean, don't check the internet on that, but
she's the best. I love my wife, and I don't know. I can't even remember. It was so long ago, Jim.
Yeah. By the way,
that segment was the sound of one hand clapping. That's what that was. Awful.
Stay strong, Jem's life. Stay strong, Alex DeMonor and Katie Bolter. We believe in you. This is a big news that dropped today. Diego Schwartzman announced that this is going to be his last full season, Jim, on tour, and he's looking to retire in Argentina next year.
Well, he's had a tremendous run. This guy has been such a warrior, so fun to follow his career. And it's coming to an end, and it should end in Argentina. Perfect to finish at home. So it gives us all a chance to enjoy Diego on the road for at least another, 7 or 8 months. Yeah. So he's just been a joy to watch. Obviously undersized compared to his peer group, but his heart and his competitive instincts outsized. It's been awesome to watch.
One of the most well-liked players on tour, Andy, got to 8 in the world. He's 31 years old. Semifinals, Roland Garros, 2 other quarterfinals there, a couple quarterfinals at the U.S. Open as well.
Yeah, and by everything you hear, it sounds like if you have a problem, it's on you with Diego Schwartzman, one of the most beloved players on tour, undersized his whole career. But you know what wasn't undersized was his heart and the way that he went about the game. I felt like this was slipping a little bit. You know, this isn't shocking news based on results. But listen, time comes for all of us. But like Jim said, great that there's an event in Argentina early in the year and we can give a proper goodbye.
Yeah, you know, you feel like Diego Schwartzman was a guy who got the most out of his talent, the most out of his frame, the most out of his abilities, and that's a huge testament to the career that he's had. That and the fact that he was so well respected by his peers, so good on him, and wish him the best in this next chapter, but it'll be fun to see him still out there until it is over.
Yeah, 4 career titles for Diego Schwartzman, and I love the fact that we get to celebrate him for the next 7 or 8 months leading up to the official retirement. Much more still to come here on TC Live. You have been waiting for it. Of course, it is the highly anticipated, often imitated, but never duplicated, best of the best today, ATP edition from Madrid. We'll count down 5 to 1. Welcome back. The women's final was one for the ages, Chanda. Rematch from last year between Iga Swiatek and Aryna Sabalenka.
This was over 3 hours of sublime tennis. It was the competing, the intensity back and forth throughout this match, and Swiatek understanding how important the first set was. She raised her level at just the right moment to take it 7-5, but Aryna Sabalenka, she has fought back all tournament long, and this match was no different. This was where she was able to up the ante, raise her level of big hitting in the forehand. That was the huge shot over the course of the match. Sabalenka able to get the break at the tail end of the second set with another blistering forehand, and on to a third we would go, and it would come down, Steve, to a tiebreak in the third set. But this was championship point. Sabalenka would have a couple of them in this 6-5 game, and Swiatek holding her nerve. And you just saw it time and time again. When it got tough, Swiatek got a little bit tougher. Didn't quite have the firepower at times, but she had the height, she had the spins, and in the end, she had the heart as well. This was a terrific battle. And it was tough to see one person lose, but you see that reaction from Swiatek, you can tell just how big this moment was.
Match of the year. I mean, this stuff was spectacular. Swiatek, reigning supreme in Spain for the first time, has now won her last 8 finals. Incredible stuff. So, the Board of Champions. Rublev, Swiatek winning in singles. Buxa and Sarah Cerevis-Tormo taking the women's doubles title earlier today. Thompson and Korda winning the men's doubles as the road to Roland Garros heads to Rome. Of course, with the 2-week event, our incredible production team has extra time to compile the very best shots, prettiest points, and resplendent rallies for what we call the best of the best. We're counting down 5-1. Men's edition, Jim, starting with Jannik Sinner, near court fourth round against Corinne Khachanov.
Well, if we're going to miss Sinner in Rome, let's enjoy what he gave us in Madrid. How about an absolute howitzer of a return down the line? Goodness me. Hope to see that at Roland Garros.
At number 4, Andy, Casper Ruud.
Casper going with the wheels and the feel here at the end, Steve. Gets a good read on this one. Says FAA, drop and give me 50. Didn't go his way. But hey, listen, this was like Drake. He might not be winning against Kendrick Lamar, but he's fighting real hard, isn't he, Steve?
Family matters, Andy. Family matters. Chanda at number 3. We're going to Roberto Bautista Agut. This was a first round matchup, and RBA playing some big time defense. That's what Drake is having to do right now.
You know, this guy, 30 plus years young, RBA, and he can still get it done on the court. That sweet lob, the kiss off the backhand side, and he just feathers it in perfect position there. That's RBA at his finest. He is still a tough out, Steve.
He certainly is. But you know who's the toughest out on this surface, especially when it comes to best 3 out of 5? None other than the great Rafael Nadal against Alex De Minaur. Rematch from Barcelona, Jim.
Yeah, De Minaur had beaten him in 2 sets going away, but not this time. Nadal, he'd have the final word. It wouldn't be easy, though. Points like this were all to come, and the great demon defense, Rafa probing, and then eventually, boom, here comes the backhand. Yes, indeed. It's nice to have a right hand that is your dominant arm. You can create this much pace. Rafa going to be in Rome as well.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing him there. Of course, he's won that title double-digit times as well. But, Andy, at number 1, Alexander Bublik, like K-Dot, not like us.
Yeah, and listen, Bublik, the confuse and conquer method in full effect here. You can tell he's like hardly trying sometimes. I don't know who he is. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But listen, the talent is always there and even creates moments of euphoria. That's something you do like in a warm-up when you're like 11. and your coach tells you to actually like focus.
Yes, indeed. He's not Malibu's most wanted. He might be Madrid's most wanted, though. And also for this guy, Carbias Baena, because after he did that shot, he literally tried to peg him with both his first and second serve. Have you ever seen anything like that,
Jenna? I mean, look, why not, Steve? When you get that shot hit at you the way Bublik did, you know, match is immaterial. I want some revenge.
Favorite part of this, Bublik circling the mark just to make sure that the double fall was out. I mean, oh, what a meltdown from Baena. Wow.
Well, if you hit him, then you get the point.
That's true.
So, you know, it's not exactly far-fetched.
Andy, you ever seen that?
I think it's a little far-fetched, but listen, I get it. Like, I can tell you, the three of us on the panel, none of us would be happy if we get toyed with down 5-1 in the third set. I don't know that we'd be happy about it. I would have been able to hit it harder than Baena, though, I promise.
All right, we are headed to Rome. It starts on Tuesday as our road to Roland Garros continues on Tennis Channel, May 7th. And then, of course, we got a week of action with the qualies at RG, Geneva, Lyon, Strasbourg, and Rabat, and then our coverage from Paris begins on Sunday, May 26, 5 a.m. Eastern. Jim, what are you most looking forward to in the Italian capital?
Well, we got Djokovic and we got Nadal in that draw, right? So it's kind of like old home week. We might be missing some of the youngsters in the men's side. And then what about Świątek and Sabalenka? Can we just please get a rematch of that one either there or in Paris? Because that was incredible.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. And you think about the women's side, they've got 18 of the top 20 women looking healthy, ready to play. The only two that are out are Mukova, who's been out for quite a while, last year's Roland Garros finalist. So we certainly hope for the best for her, and Jessie Pegula pulling out of Rome. But a terrific field that I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, who's going to be contending for that final in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, on top of the injury report, I want the draw, right? We all want to know where Rafa fits. Like, can we get a Rafa? Like, we could talk about it for 4 days if there was, like, a potential Rafa Novak third round even. Like, we could get into that. So I want to see where Rafa goes, and I want to see the injury report. You see if Medvedev, I don't know if he's committed yet. And then throughout the week, the dominant conversation is going to be how's the health of the people who aren't here, unfortunately. But the women's draw is fire right now. I can't wait to see those matchups.
Yeah, lots to talk about over the next couple weeks as we lead up to Roland Garros' second major of the year. What we do know, it's all done from Madrid. Great job, Andy. Past 2 weeks here on TC Live. Chanda, you as well. Jim, been killing it.
I got a picture with us and Andy, but he was looking down as always.
Yeah.
Come on, Andy.
It's okay. His head's
sorry,
so big
on
that
it.
Screen. You got plenty of them.
I got him one time, and now it's behind him on the serve podcast.
That's right. We got you. We got some love for you there, Washington.
That wraps up our coverage from Madrid. No rest for the weary. All roads lead to Rome as the road to Roland Garros continues. Thanks so much for watching TC Live.